everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, we're blessed to have someone who, when I think about him, the words, "he carries the Father's heart," comes to mind. And what I mean by that personally is just his warmth, genuineness, and compassion, much like Abba, Father God. He is involved in a plethora of ministries here at Catalyst, including the Deliverance Ministry with Jody Nakamoto, Family Ministry with Ida and Ross. He and Linda are small group leaders, and he's also involved in Children's Ministry. I probably should have asked what ministries you're not a part of. That would have probably been much faster.
All the rest, John.
He's now retired from Caltrans, so a big congratulations there. He's married to Linda, and this September, they'll celebrate their 35th wedding anniversary. So another congratulations.
Yes, thanks
so much.
That's
huge. Yeah. Together, they have two grown children, sons Jeffrey and Garrett, and daughter-in-law Cassidy. And with that, Daniel Hing, welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast.
Thanks, John. My pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, you know, to me, what makes the comment about you carrying the Father's heart so powerful is that you grew up without a father for most of your life. And so I wondered if you can start by telling us a little bit about your dad and the story of what happened to your dad that one fateful day.
Sure, yeah. I grew up born in Oakland, California. My dad... he was an outdoorsman, did hunting and fishing, and I remember he'd bring fish home, and they were alive, throw them in the bathtub, and we'd kind of have fun kind of watching them swim around before eventually somehow they ended up on the table. But one day I have an older sister and a younger sister, and one day somebody came to our front door and came in, and they shared with my mom that my dad had died. He had drowned in a fishing accident. And I was 5 at the time. That was a little tough. We after that, my mom was born in San Diego, but she had moved to L.A., and so all her family was in L.A., and so, we moved down to Southern California after that, lived with my grandmother, and raised basically with my grandmother and then my mom.
So you were 5 years old, and you hear the news of your dad's passing. At 5 years old, what is your reaction or your feelings at that time?
I just remember saying, I guess we are never going to see him again. It wasn't like overwhelming sadness, although it was sad we weren't going to see him again, but that was from a kind of child's mind. I don't know. It was just a kind of reality thing. We were sad. My youngest sister, she didn't understand, and I remember my older sister and I were trying to explain, he's not coming home again. And she didn't get it. So, we were all very young at the time.
Right. And as you've heard the story looking back, can you talk a little bit about what happened, how that accident happened?
It was a fishing accident. I believe it was Lake Shasta that him and a good friend of his who were fishing. They hit a tree that they didn't see underwater. The boat turned over. He didn't know how to swim, and his good friend barely knew how to swim. He was able to save himself, but he wasn't a good enough swimmer at all to be able to save my dad.
Wow. Do you remember your mom and how she took it?
She went somehow into survival mode. I hear a little bit of crying that day, but after that, I don't remember her crying for years. And so she just, you know, said, this is our lot. And so mm-hmm. we'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
So she had plans. My dad's family was up in Oakland and San Francisco. And so, we moved into her mom, my grandmother's home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not sure if it was shortly, how long after that incident, but you went to your dad's grave site mm-hmm. and you asked a question. I'm wondering if you can talk about that.
Yeah, so, growing up, started down here in the first grade, and, through school, Father's Day would come, obviously, once a year, and those were tough, because I just felt really awkward, and it's like, I don't have a dad to do these, we're making all these crafts, and who am I supposed to give that to? And I think one year I told the teacher, do I need to do this because I don't have a dad? And she said, you can just make this for your uncle. And,
it didn't have that same meaning.
It's not Uncle's Day.
Yeah.
And then growing up, I remember I had to learn how to put a tie on. My mom didn't know how. I was probably 8, 9, 10 at the time. And she said, go down to your neighbor's house. And so I went and asked him, because he was a dad of a friend I used to play with in the neighborhood. And he was tying the tie for me. And then the older sister came, and she kind of laughed that I didn't know how to tie a tie. And I just felt really embarrassed at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So a little bit later, when we used to go to the cemetery, and went to my dad's gravestone, and we had time to just, I didn't know the Lord. We had time to talk to our dad. And so I was kind of like really upset that he left us, that he left me not knowing how to grow into be a young man, how to even tie a tie. And I said, why did you leave? So early. So I was, I was upset, not that he wanted to, obviously, but that was in my mind that was going on. So I was crying out. Yeah.
And I think your question was kind of like, who am I supposed to talk to now about becoming a man?
Yes. I grew up with my grandmother, my mom, two sisters. So, all the things as you're getting older, it'd be, way too awkward or strange to talk to my mom, my grandmother, even my uncles. Mm-hmm. So kind of left not knowing where to go. And that was part of that cry.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So I want to fast forward a little bit and transition here. And there's a reason we're going to tie everything together. But later on in life, you said a prayer regarding the kind of woman that you wanted to meet and to marry. And so tell me about that prayer that you offered up.
Going through high school and college, kind of meeting different people. And not that I was really prepared in many different ways for relationships, but, dated and went out with people. And, just things hadn't worked out with different women, different girls. And so at some point, I remember where I was. I was going to Cal State LA at the time, and I can just close my eyes, remember getting on the freeway, coming home, and I prayed to the God that I didn't really know. Would you just bring me, God, a woman with a heart of gold? And I kind of always thought in my mind, there's got to be a God out there. I mean, how did we get here? How do we even exist? But I didn't know Jesus Christ. I didn't know God the Father, Holy Spirit. I didn't know any of that. But every once in a while, I would, in kind of loneliness, despair, whatever, I'd call out to the Lord, and that was one of the times.
That's amazing that you had that presence to kind of to sense that God was there and listening to you, even though you didn't have that maybe that relationship or you weren't a Christian at the time.
I guess so. You know, maybe it was also like that time at the cemetery. It's like, where else do you go? Where else do you, who do I talk to, right?
And yeah.
So, that might be part of it.
Yeah, so you were talking to God and you had asked, you made a request.
Yes, for a woman with a heart of gold. And so... just kind of forgot about that afterwards. Yeah.
Well, let me just stop you. So to you at that time, how did you describe what a heart of gold meant to you at that time?
Just somebody with goodness, somebody with kindness, somebody, I don't know, somebody that was different from the experiences I've had previously.
Okay.
I didn't really know what that was, but it was searching for something much better.
Yeah. Somehow the word purity is coming to mind because, you know, gold is, you know, pure, you know. I don't know if that's one of the words that...
again,
pure heart. You know
that. Yes, pure heart.
Yeah.
Definitely, but like I said, I didn't fully understand what I was saying at the time, I don't think.
Yeah. And so I find it amazing because, so 1 month after you made that request, you met Linda.
Yeah.
And so maybe you can talk about, I think she invited you to some kind of church meeting.
Yeah, so I met her at church, not at church, I wasn't going to, I met her at school.
Okay.
And her friends introduced me to her, and I got to know her. And, she was just really kind and, you know, took the time to come over and talk to me. Now,
I'm just curious. So you meet Linda. Mm-hmm. Are you thinking in the back of your mind, okay, this is the woman with the heart? I mean, at what point did it hit you that, gosh, this is the answer to my request of the woman with the heart of gold?
Yeah, we didn't even date for a little while.
Okay, okay.
We were just kind of talking in the library, and then at some point we did go out on some dates, and then I got to know her heart more and more as the relationship kind of evolved, and then I thought, oh my goodness, that prayer from before came to my mind. It's like, oh, I wonder if this is the woman that the Lord sent me with the heart of gold.
Mm.
She did, through that time, she was a Christian. I was not. She invited me to go to a Bible study, and I got introduced to, actually, it was a friend of mine who I think I knew at the time, Ray Ushinaga. I used to play basketball with him. Mm. I didn't know, actually. We had a discussion there. Linda let me speak to him separately, and I asked, how do you know, how did you come to know God? How do you know that God exists? And he said, first you have to believe, and then you'll understand. Mm. And I said, how do you believe first and understand later? I need to kind of understand if you can explain that to me. And then if that sounds good to me, I'll believe. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's kind of how it goes as you put your faith in the Lord. And I said, that's a tough one for me. But and we left the conversation somehow. I said, I'm going to continue to pray for the Lord to give me understanding of who he is, of that he's out there.
Yeah.
And I remember leaving, and for probably a week and a half or 2 weeks, praying every day, all right, God, let me know that you're there. You know, if you're there, hit me with some type of lightning bolt. So it's like, you know, good or bad, just let me know that you're there. Because I wanted to know that there was a God out there.
Yeah.
But, nothing really extraordinary happened during that time. And so, that prayer kind of faded away. I kind of didn't really think about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So you discover that Linda is the one with the heart of gold for you. And in 1987, you were married. So I just want to ask you this, because this might be helpful for maybe young people or people that are considering marriage. What advice would you give to others seeking a mate, or even someone who might be praying for someone on the lookout for a potential mate?
Wow. So, you know, I mean, I know there's the verse about equally yoked, and so I was not a Christian at the time. I think those were tough years, because Linda was praying for me to know the Lord. Mm-hmm. She asked me at some point, do you think Jesus is real? And I thought about it, and I said, well, I mean, you know, we count our days, our dates by, you know, before Christ. I said, so there must have been something that happened at some point, something big. So I said, yeah, I believe that Jesus was real, but in my mind, that's all it was. So that's all I knew. And for several years of our marriage, I wasn't Christian. I know that was difficult for her. We only went to church maybe Easter and maybe Christmas, and I know her heart was to go, but she never forced me to go, never twisted my arm, but she always continued to pray. So, so yeah, I just, you know, I don't have really any advice. It's always good to pray.
Yeah.
You know, seek the Lord. Know that if you are going to go into a marriage with somebody who does not carry the same faith, that it could be a real tough time.
Yeah.
And, thankfully the Lord kind of spoke to me at some point. It was good. But
yeah. Well, I hear just what you said and just praying and seeking God. It's interesting, because last week Andrea Lynn came on the podcast, and her husband Ken was not a Christian at the time that they were dating too. But just like you, Daniel, she was seeking the Lord, and she knew that she had made these promises to God about, you know, finding someone who was also a believer. And so I think just that advice to pray and seek Him, that's great advice right there, because
he had
a similar situation with Linda and you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. She was definitely faithful to praying, for sure.
Yeah. Wow, that's neat. So I want to segue to our last story here. And again, for our listeners, there's a reason why we've gone from one story to the next, and we'll piece it together in just a little bit. But shortly after marrying Linda, you found out that your oldest sister was back in the hospital battling cancer again. And so I wondered if you can talk about what happened that one day when you went to visit her and saw her struggling so much.
Yeah. So, she had battled thyroid cancer from her teens through the years, and it's a slow growing cancer, but at some point it can kind of speed up. And so, she had been in and out of the hospital, sometimes well, and then sometimes not so well. She was in her 30s, close to mid-30s, when things turned bad and things accelerated. She was at City of Hope, and things had turned just worse, and it was difficult for her. We were always there as much as we could to comfort her. And, there was this one day where Linda, myself, and my sister, a younger sister, Judy, we were all in the room with my sister, Marilyn. The nurse came in to try to comfort my sister, clean her up a little bit. She asked that we leave the room. And so Judy and Linda walked down the hallway, and I just stepped out the door. And again, I prayed for my sister. And I prayed, Lord, if you can hear me, you know, my sister's in so much pain. And if you can heal her, please heal her quickly. But, if it's her time, Lord, please take her because she's in so much pain. Mm. And, just ended that quick little prayer. And the nurse came out in the hallway and she said, you need to come in. Your sister's not doing very well. Mm-hmm. And so went back into the room with her, beside her, and I was there. She took her last breath. I saw a tear come out of her eye, and then she was gone. Mm. And that happened so quickly. Right after my prayer, I didn't know what to think. I walked outside and I thought, what just happened? Did I just kill my sister?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I prayed for the Lord to take her and then she was gone. What happened? Or was this some type of just crazy coincidence that
mm-hmm,
happened?
Mm-hmm.
But the timing of it was just too incredible. So, it was just another situation where it's like, I thought about it for a while, but then again, it kind of just faded because I didn't know what to do with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So at the time, I'm hearing kind of you hadn't reached a conclusion at that particular time as to, or you're still processing what happened.
Yeah, processing as much as I could, but then I think there was a bit of guilt also. And so at some point, I tried to kind of just stuff it,
mm-hmm,
not
mm-hmm.
to think about that too much.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That somehow that prayer had sped up your sister's moving on.
Right.
Okay. So we've gone from the question you asked at the cemetery at your father's tombstone when you were just a child to the request you made about finding a woman with a heart of gold to the request that you made of God outside your oldest sister's hospital room. So one day you're at church, and talk about that incredible encounter that you had with God concerning all these events.
Yeah, so again, we hadn't been going to church at all. Every once in a while, Easter. And I remember this one Easter in particular, that there was a pastor that was speaking. And I had gone to other churches and heard pastors speak, shared sermons. I really didn't get it. I went to other churches every once in a while, and they sang hymns. And I really didn't get it. Some years later, we got invited by a friend of Linda's that she used to go to church with to go to Cerritos Baptist Church.
Mm.
And so I said, we can go. I went there, and I remembered that pastor that spoke that one Easter where I got what he was saying, and it sounded good. And it was Pastor Gary Tawa. Mm. And that first service that I was there was really impactful. I remember worship, listening to worship, and the songs were, just beautiful. The congregation, the way we're singing,
mm-hmm.
it just hit me. And I remember kind of tears coming to my eyes in my life, I felt like I was kind of jaded. I didn't cry, and so I didn't know what was going on, but tears were coming to my to my eyes through that service, and I enjoyed the speaker. And after church, Linda asked, "Oh, what do you think? Do you want to come back?" And I said, "Yeah, I think that'd be okay."
Yeah.
And so we went for a while, and then there was this one service where Pastor Barry was speaking, and there was a testimony that shared, and the person who spoke I felt like I really related to what he was saying.
Mm.
It was really good. And then Pastor Barry continued to speak. And while he was speaking, his voice faded out. And it was almost like I was led into a dream or like a daydream. And my mind shifted to the past. And I was led to a scene, the scene, at the cemetery where I had cried out to my dad, "Where are you? You know, why'd you leave so early?" And yeah, in this daydream, the Lord was there, and he said, "Do you remember when you were there at the hospital, you cried out, 'Don't you know that I was there? I was there with you.'" And then he moved to the next scene, and he took me back to when I was driving onto the freeway going home from Cal State Long Beach. He says, "Remember when you prayed for a woman with a heart of gold? I brought you Linda."
Wow.
And then the next scene he brought me to was at the hospital. And he said, "Don't you know that when you prayed to me in the hospital, that I was with you?" And he said, "Don't you know I've always been with you? I'm with you now, and I'll always be there for you."
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what's going on inside as the tears flowed? I think you said for about 20 minutes. What was going on inside?
Yeah, it was definitely, it was waterworks. It's like the faucet got turned on, and yeah, you don't want to be crying in front of the whole church, but I couldn't stop it. And my eyes were leaking, my nose was leaking, and nothing could stop that. It was crazy. And so Pastor Barry at the service said at the end, "Does anybody want to receive the Lord as your Savior?" And I raised my hand, and I went up, he said at the end of service, "If you received the Lord as your Lord and Savior, come on up." So I did go up after service, and same guy that I had gone to a long time ago at that Bible study that Linda brought me to, Ray Yoshinaga, he comes up to me, and he kind of leads me into the prayer of receiving the Lord. So I thought, man, this is a crazy coincidence that would happen. I said, I know now that.
We know it's not a coincidence.
That's right. That's right. It was good.
Yeah. Daniel, as you're just sharing these God downloading and speaking to you during these, taking you back to these different events, it's almost like in that moment you realize that God had been right there with you your entire life. Is that accurate? Or
it was nuts. It was nuts to see him in those places, to know that he was there.
Yeah.
He became very real to me that day.
Yeah.
And things were different from that day on. I felt really like a few days after that, maybe even a week, I kind of tested my thoughts and my mind, thinking, all right, was that real? What really happened there? But the Lord continued to speak to me, to let me know, to show me at different times that he was there to reassure me, and he still reassures me. He's with me. So
good. And so, why do you think God answered all those prayers that you lifted up, those requests?
I it's just good to know that the Lord loves me. You know, when you read in the Bible that he knew you even before you were born.
Yes, yes.
When you read different passages, they just become your own. They become real. Mm-hmm. You know, when he says he's a father to the fatherless, when he lifts up the orphans.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you just own those things. And yeah, I was sharing with our ministry team, you know, one of the reasons I love being on the deliverance team is because the Lord shows up in those ministry times for other people. Mm-hmm. And just like he showed up for me, he came into times of woundings and times of being mm-hmm. alone, and mm-hmm. he gave me a new perspective
yes.
and a new revelation. And he brought healing where, I don't know where I'd be without this new perspective. I definitely would not be carrying that type of goodness that he gave me through that time. And so, it's just good to reflect and to remember and know that he's there for me and
yes.
that he wants me now to share this, with others that are around me too.
Yeah, wow. I just want to share a couple of scriptures. John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And James 5:17, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I just see, Daniel, your request that you made coming out of that a pure heart, even though at that time you didn't know, you know, the Lord personally, but you sensed that there was a God out there and had that presence of mind to lift up those prayers. And I think it came from just a righteous heart, a pure heart.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Definitely. Yeah, from my perspective, it definitely was not a pure heart, to be honest. It was definitely something from deep down. And I think if I believe that the Lord was with me, I think he prompted me to call to him.
Yes.
He knew me at the time, even though I didn't know him.
Yeah.
He knew I was his, even though I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yes.
Yeah, I think in his gentleness, he was preparing me for that day that my eyes were finally open and I finally saw him.
Yeah, that's great perspective. So describe now what Father's Day is like for you now, for you today.
Father's Day, it's definitely different from those times in elementary school where I had no one to go to. And I'm definitely blessed to know that I have a Heavenly Father that I can go to not only in times of sorrow or loneliness, but in times of joy, in times of seeking, in times where I need wisdom. Which way direction to go or discernment. It's definitely good to know that you have a Father.
A
Heavenly Father.
Yes. Amen. And finally today, what advice would you give to the fathers out there? I know you have great perspective on that.
So, yeah. It's hard to be a dad without the Lord. So, you know, my boys were born and I had accepted Christ and yet I was on a journey to learning how to become a dad. But becoming a dad still really, I looked many times at my lack because I didn't have a dad growing up. Mm-hmm. And so what am I going to do? What am I going to teach them? you know, I didn't have a dad to teach them sports or to, you know, do the outdoors thing. And I thought that's what dads did. And at the same time, as far as teaching them a way to go, you know, my tools were to, that I was taught was to learn how to respect your elders, because that's what I was taught when I was growing up, by my grandmother and by my mom, but more by my grandmother. She was pretty tough. And so I brought that into my family to, you know, that elders needed respect and darn it, I needed respect, right? And many times as they get older, that kind of doesn't happen so quickly. And so that was a tough spot. And even though the Holy Spirit was speaking to me through the time, you know, hey, you know, speak softly to your son. And when I would get angry or yell at them, the Holy Spirit would say, yeah, you know, go apologize to your son. You know, you don't need to yell at them like that. And I fought that many times. But, yeah, there was a time I apologized to my oldest because the Lord kept telling me, you need to apologize. I'd always argue, but he's not going to learn the lesson. How is he going to learn the lesson if I apologize? That takes away from what I want to say. But the Lord just kind of kept relenting, and so or kept going, and so I did finally apologize, and it was so good. I just felt the grace of the Lord and grace from my son,
yeah.
When he received my apology, and that was beyond my understanding. Later on, I don't know how, but I was invited by Ross and Ida, along with Linda, to be part of the parenting ministry at Catalyst. And, we learned so much in there, you know, that there's more tools out there, but besides the tools that we grew up with. And, the highlight for me was that relationship is so much more important than respect. You know, respect is good, but you can't demand respect and keep that relationship intact, at least for not very long. And so it was a different way of parenting, and it was God's way. Yeah. God loves us. He loves that relationship that he has with his children. You know, when we sin, when we go left or we go right, he still loves us. He has that unconditional love. We learned the different parenting tools, and I changed as a father. And by that time, my kids were, in their 20s, but they noticed the change in me. So,
Wow.
A big change for them. And I noticed a big change for me, too. So, being a father, there's so much there. Fighting our old ways, many times fighting our pride. Listening to the Spirit and then learning tools that are out there. And again, love the parenting ministry.
Yeah. So normally I don't do this, but you know, I'm going to put in a plug for Loving Your Kids on Purpose and Keeping Your Love On. Those two are two of the courses here at Catalyst that Ross and Ida are and Daniel and Linda are involved with. So that's awesome that you have those testimonies coming out of the workshops, and we know it can help parents and families out there. So Daniel, as we close our time together, I just want to first of all thank you so much for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing your amazing testimonies with us.
Yeah, thank you. It's all the Lord. Nothing without the Lord.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, and I'd just like to end our time together by lifting up a prayer of thanksgiving for these wonderful testimonies and for our listeners as well. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for Daniel's testimonies of your incredible hand throughout his life. Thank you that you are always with us. I want to quote Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And thank you that you were with Daniel in that hospital room as his sister was struggling and in pain. Mm. And Lord, thank you also for being a a father to Daniel, for being Daniel's and ours as well, our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are our true and Heavenly Father. And thank you for honoring and fulfilling Daniel's prayers for a woman with a heart of gold in Linda. And Lord Jesus, may we also lift up prayers for things that are near and dear to your heart as well. And now, Jesus, may you use these incredible testimonies in Daniel's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.